All right. Good morning, Doug. It's our first episode since the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. We'll get to all that. But first, this day in history.
A day like all days, but not much has happened. Surprising in that Trump didn't die. I'm very happy about that. But three other people did, popular society personalities. Dr. Ruth, Richard Simmons, the mincing fitness guru, and Sharon, what was Sharon's last name? She was a mean girl, or a Heather, I should say, more exactly, Sharon
Doherty.
Ah, very important figure.
I guess she's from Hollywood, so she must be important. And I did some cursory research. Who else died on this day? I mean, it turns out that John Pershing, who was the general in charge of the U.S. expedition to Europe during World War I, and also in charge of evicting Pancho Villa, who was making incursions in 1917 across the Mexican border. That's an era that I'm very let's say particular to, because two of my favorite movies are about 1917 in Mexico: The Wild Bunch, which is certainly one of the best movies ever made for my money, and the other is The Professionals with Burt Lancaster and Lee Marvin, which is also top tier, both about that era in history. Anyway, nothing to say about John Pershing. Today, Rembrandt van Rijn was born, but not much to be said about that. Anyway, more important is who almost died today, or yesterday, I should say, and that is the Donald. So this is a very, very strange thing. Everybody is commenting about it. Nobody knows anything. Well, apart from the fact that you don't know what you don't know with reporting the way it is. Has the narrative been formed yet? I'm not sure. But apparently it was this 20-year-old kid that decided to take a pot shot at the Donald. And it's really very, very strange.
Well, what's most strange to you about the entire situation?
Well, did he have any planning for this? They say his father bought an AR-15 6 months before. Did he steal it from his father? Did he often use it to practice, so that he'd know how to adjust the windage and such on the sight? It was an open sight gun, apparently, not a scoped gun. Shot was from 130 or 40 yards away. Not a hard shot, even with an iron sighted gun. And apparently he took, how many, five rounds were fired, and I don't know how many of them actually hit somebody, but one person died, two were injured, and Trump was injured and nearly killed. So what I don't understand is why, if there were Secret Service, two sniper teams on the roof, why they hadn't cleared the area, an obvious shooter place. And how could the kid, I don't know where he parked his car, but they say that it was crowded enough that if you wanted to park your car, you had to do it quite a ways away. So how can you walk with a rifle that far and then crawl up? There was apparently a ladder that was incorporated to the building, crawl up to the top and crawl across the roof. And you were spotted, they say, by civilians about 3 minutes before. And did we see one of the Secret Service snipers say that he personally had seen the guy three minutes before, but was ordered not to fire? Or was that a factoid?
There's reporting that that's true, but I don't think that that's been verified by any, you know, independent authority.
Yeah, we're going to need to get a fact checker on that one, obviously.
Yeah.
So anyway, what were the Secret Service doing? And I'm asking myself, the pictures of these Secret Service guys, what is the Secret Service guy doing with his gun on a tripod, which is elevated about 3 feet above the roof? This is like a counter sniper with an elevated tripod like that, saying, look at me, here I am, here I am, look at me. That's crazy. Why would that be the case, regardless of whether he said he saw the guy before or not? That's very unprofessional. And not having, you know, cleared the obvious places that a sniper might be, it's all nuts.
I don't know if there would have been a better location for a shooter to be than where this guy was.
I would say that would be about a perfect location. The distance is great, clear line of fire. But, you know, the kid, and we have to assume, I guess, that it was him that did this, wasn't thinking very far ahead. Was he looking to make it a suicide by cops? Because how could he think he was going to get away? I mean, he had no cover, no concealment. I mean, of course, he was a sitting duck after he identified where he was. And apparently, citizens were saying, hey, guy with the gun up there, do something. And this happened minutes before. And the counter snipers, they say, because I don't believe anything, frankly. I mean, you just don't know what you're being told. Only put themselves in position after Trump had started speaking. That's unprofessional to start with. They should have been positioned there long before so that they could scan the area from where they were. And why would both of the counter snipers be on the same roof? I mean, it guarantees that if the person, if there was a shooter, was in a different place, that he'd have a place instead of being able to triangulate him from two. The whole thing is nuts.
Yeah, I mean, if you think that they would, it's shocking to me that they wouldn't have somebody on that other roof, you know, that they wouldn't have just a cop, a uniformed cop, like sitting there around there, you know, I mean, if not having anyone, maybe that other sniper on that roof, because it is the obvious shooting position.
Yeah, and then you've got to ask yourself, I did a little bit of quick research. Secret Service, do you know what their budget is every year? $3.3 billion. So they're in charge of two things: providing security to the president and a few other top officials, and tracking down counterfeiters. And I don't know how those dollars are divided between those two activities, but $3.3 billion is a lot of money. It's maintaining a giant bureaucracy as opposed to surrounding the president with a few really competent guys that know what they're doing. These guys are all, they're all government employees. And it's interesting that apparently three of the on-site Secret Service people were short, fat females that looked like they didn't know what they were doing from the little bit of video that we saw. They were diversity hires. I mean, you want generally tall, muscular, competent guys that have a background in this instead of short, fat females that's, they should have been in the office, not out on the scene. That's crazy. And the person that runs the Secret Service, she was hired in 2022. So she was hired during, let me see, 2020. Who was not? Well, Biden was in office then. So she's undoubtedly a lefty, because they don't hire anybody but lefties. And to me, lefty means incompetent, especially in a position like head of the Secret Service. I mean, that's
before that, she worked for PepsiCo in charge of security for internal or security for their facilities. So that's what she went from that job from, you know, in charge of security for the facilities of PepsiCo to being in charge of the Secret Service. Now, I understand she was a member of the Secret Service during, you know, the Baby Bush regime, but still.
Well, so how does she elide from the one to the other? Why does she leave the Secret Service? And she wasn't engaged in personal protection. Actually, you know, I took years ago, I took a bodyguard course. Personally, I did a 2-week live on campus bodyguard course. We did the whole thing, the pistols and the rifles and the high speed driving and, you know, the theory and all this type of thing. So that's the extent of my actual background in this type of thing, bodyguarding. And of course, in 40 years, I mean, just like any other course you take, you forget most of what you've learned in that period of time. But I mean, I don't claim to be a professional, but if I was taking it seriously and they said, here's your job, I mean, it's just common sense to do these things, everything but what these idiots did.
Right. Well, no matter how much the tactics might have changed in the 40 years since you did the course, I guarantee the first thing was situational awareness. That had to be the anchor of the entire thing. And to have the best possible shooter position unguarded and left open is suspicious.
Yeah, everything we've talked about so far is ranges between suspicious and outright idiotic. Right. And when they escorted him off the stage, it was like, you know, you could see them fumbling with each other going down the stairs. It's like they hadn't practiced with another person to make sure that they got that part down too.
Well, like, especially with the women that were there who were, you know, I mean, if you're supposed to essentially be on the body, make sure the body lives, cover the body on the way out. These women who are like 5'4 or 5'5, you know, trying to cover a man who's a pretty big guy. Trump's a big guy. You could see it just didn't work. It was clumsy and it was bad. I mean, it did not serve the Secret Service well.
You want some big, strong guys, not short, fat. You know, that's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, and also these public examples like this are like the death nail for DEI, I think, because you get to see under stress the way that different people react to everything that was going on. I mean, there's a picture of you know, when the Secret Service agents go in and they cover Trump the first time they do that. And the one woman who also had trouble reholstering a little bit later, she's cowering behind him, like far away. And, you know, there's a meme going around and it has like one big guy who's on top of Trump and her, and she's like 2 feet away, cowered. And it says the wage gap. You know, so.
Well, another question that will present itself shortly is, will anybody get fired or at least put on 2-week paid leave? Well, something like that, probably nothing.
I mean, it says a lot if there's I think like Afghanistan withdrawal, which was a debacle and no heads rolled for that. No careers were suspended in any way for that, except for the Marines who were blown up on the way out. I imagine it'll be like that again. You know, this major failures.
Well, I would think so, because like, who is that tranny that was stealing people's luggage at the airports?
Yeah.
So he was depositioned from whatever he's doing, but now he's rehired with another agency of the government.
Yeah, I'm looking him up right now.
And he wasn't prosecuted for that crime, stealing people's luggage, in addition to the fact that he's obviously a weird degenerate, which you shouldn't have working in a high government position, frankly.
If I recall, that he pled and didn't have to serve time for any of that. I think he was charged, but he ended up saying he had mental problems and so used to.
Well, as long as that's the reason. Okay.
Well, it's right. Clear they had mental problems if that's the first clue.
Yeah, that's pretty clear. So, well, what will Biden do now? But wait a minute, it doesn't matter what Biden does now, because I'll take any action from anybody who would like to, but they are not going to run Biden. They cannot run Biden. This is just getting out of control. Every press conference he gives, he confuses Zelensky with Putin. He can't complete a thought, a sentence. Now, they've got to get rid of him, but can they replace him with Kamala? It seems like they're ramping up for that, but that's pretty unbelievable too. But who is there other than Kamala, frankly?
You know, Doug, I think I would take the other side of the bet now. I wouldn't have last week, but I would now. And the reason is because Trump was already doing well in the polls by comparison. It was already on trajectory to win. This event, I think, changes the tone of the entire election in a big way. Almost, I think, guarantees that Trump is going to win. I don't see how. It's very difficult to imagine a scenario where he wouldn't win now. So would a Gavin Newsom, somebody with great political aspirations, want to step in to take his spot if he could? Would Hillary want to come in and take his spot when she only to be humiliated and lose again? So I think the people who are holding out for political career, they won't step up now.
Although it's obviously Hillary's last chance or last hurrah. I mean, she might do that. But okay, so who's Trump going to pick for his VP? That's very important because he's an old guy, and these people are going to continue trying to kill him, is my guess.
Let me see if I. Who do you think? Do you have any? Do you have any thoughts on who it might be?
Well, couple possibilities. I think there's three possibilities. One, I kind of like Ben Carson. He's black, not that that should make any difference, but he's also competent and thoughtful and mellow. And but at the same time, he's not a guy with a lot of charisma. He can't really help in campaigning and such. There's not a lot of fire with Ben, but he's a possibility. Another possibility is Vance, that senator from Hawaii that came out of kind of nowhere.
Ohio, I think he is.
Oh, excuse me, Ohio. I was anticipating my third choice, so you know who it is now, from Hawaii. So I don't know what to think about J.D. Vance. I'm told that he was a never-Trumper up until 2022. So what caused him to about face on that?
Political aspirations.
Yes. Oh, that's a thought. Yeah, if so, that really disqualifies him. I mean, I've heard him on Tucker a couple of times, and he says the right things, but that's pretty meaningless because when you're on Tucker and you know who Tucker's audience is, well, you speak and say things that will appeal to the audience that you're talking to. Okay, and he wrote this book about hillbillies. What's the name of it?
Hillbilly Eulogy.
Yes, I think you're right. Like that. Yeah. Hillbilly Eulogy. I haven't read the book, but apparently it's, decrying the fact that middle-class white males from a certain background are no longer politically viable or desirable in any way. Okay, that's good. That's fine. But I don't really know what his other philosophical beliefs are. So I don't know. And then the third thing, and this is where I'll put my money, actually, out of these three. And I think it will come down to those three. It would be on Tulsi Gabbard. As an individual, she's very impressive. And she's very smart, high IQ, and what she says resonates very well on the thing she talks about, anti-war, namely. But I suspect that she's A Democrat. I mean, a standard welfare type Democrat with all that implies. She never talks about that. But I don't think it doesn't impress me as a dishonest person. And none of these people like that interview her. And of course, Tucker comes to the fore there too. They never ask her about her views on government spending, on welfare, on government intervention in the economy, all these things. I've never seen her asked anything about that. And my guess is that she'll have the wrong answers on all those things, but she's good on foreign affairs. She doesn't want any wars.
And if you recall, she ran, you know, on the Democratic primary last time against Biden and dropped out of the race and endorsed him.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. So
I'm just looking on this. I just Googled some sports betting sites or some, and I see this one that they actually have the top odds for the top candidate as this guy, Doug Burgum, who was, I guess he's from South Dakota. Is that right? North Dakota. He's North Dakota's governor. They have it between him and J.D. Vance.
Well, I don't know anything about Burgum. I think I've heard some things that tell me from a libertarian point of view, he's not terribly desirable, but I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, I don't really either. But so you think that it's Tulsi is going to be the one?
That is my guess, that Trump will go for her. She's a woman. That's very important in the case of Trump because they say women hate Trump. Of course, all these, you know, totally cuckoo libs that they have decrying Trump and all that on YouTube, you see them going wild. They're all women. Maybe Tulsi could mellow that down for him. I don't know.
And maybe.
Trump doesn't have any philosophical core. So the fact that Tulsi is undoubtedly a leftist, except for her warfare stance, it's not going to bother him too much.
Yeah. And I think the big thing is that what he really needs is somebody who, I mean, in light of, if you believe this was a legitimate assassination attempt and, you know, the deep state may be behind it through, you know, putting incompetent people on the Secret Service detail, if nothing else, or cutting their budget so they have so little, trying to encourage this kind of thing, that you'd want somebody who would make him assassin proof, meaning that if they killed Trump, what they would get as a VP would be worse. Like, if you want to make sure you want to make sure he stays alive, it seems to me you want somebody who is like right of Trump.
But who would that be?
I don't think there's, I mean, honestly, I don't think there's anybody that's even out there. I mean, maybe, I mean, only because what he says, Vivek would be one, because he talks about dismantling the deep state in a way that Trump never does. And he also has some executive experience and probably he's very intelligent, probably more capable of doing that than anyone else.
I guess of the people whose names float around and who want to be VP, out of that pool, and I'm perhaps not familiar with everybody who's swimming in that cesspool, I would probably choose Vivek as being my first choice too.
Yeah, I think so too.
The person I'd like to see.
Unfortunately, the pool is too small, right? There's just not enough good candidates in there.
It's too small and way too shallow. So
yeah,
it's well, this is what happens during a late stage degraded empire. I mean, anybody with any brains wants to stay out of it because their life is going to be torn apart and they're going to be subjected to wholesale hatred and people will try to kill them. And and you won't be able to actually get anything done as the president because, you know, you're fighting entrenched bureaucracies. So it would be demoralizing to be president as well.
It's almost why maybe you want somebody like that General Flynn, somebody who they've gone after pretty hard already and knows where the bodies are buried.
Is he a possibility?
I mean, he's out there actively campaigning for him. I mean, he's on the, he's working for a role in the administration, I'd say for sure.
That makes sense. As is probably Douglas McGregor, is my guess.
Seems clear he is. I think he'd be a good VP.
He would. He. It seems from listening to him, and I often listen to his podcasts, that he understands libertarianism. He understands Austrian economics. He's a smart guy, in addition to his military views and credentials.
And I would say he is right of Trump. I mean,
Yeah.
he's a person that'd say, no, we need to deport all these people,
Yeah.
which Trump will never do that. I don't know if it could be done anyway, but Trump would never do it. But he talks about it at least.
Assuming we have an election in 28, and I don't think that's a foregone conclusion, my guess, if the world hasn't blown up with World War III already, or even if it has, both of these parties will go for a military man.
Yeah, I think people will be clamoring for that by then.
By then, yeah.
Yeah, somebody who can bring order.
Oh, God. It really is a pity. Scary and a pity. Anything else that you can think of that we
Well,
might.
there's a couple of interesting things. I mean, of course, it really bothers me as soon as the FBI comes in and takes control of the investigation. They did so good with the Las Vegas shooter and every other crime they've attempted to solve. They just are a wet blanket on any answers to anything. The FBI has said that they de definitively know who the shooter is. They definitely know who it is, and this guy has zero social media presence, and they say they cannot, and he was definitely acting alone. They've determined this already, and they've also determined that they cannot access his phone.
That seems premature if they can't access his phone. And isn't that strange that you can't access somebody's phone? I thought these guys had some computer staff on board.
Yeah, Doug, I guarantee you they can access your phone right now, you sitting there, without them even having their hands on it. I guarantee they can get into it. If they have it in their physical possession in Quantico, which they do, they can. It's I just can't. I just don't buy it.
No, I don't buy it. I remember when I sp spent the night with at John McAfee's place. He did a party trick for me, and right before my very eyes, he accessed my phone. So how'd you do that? That was magic. Yeah. So, and that was years ago. I
Yeah.
believe you.
Yeah. So, I mean, so those things are suspicious again, but no surprise with the FBI coming in to manage the investigation. What else is interesting to me is the fact that if you think about the net effect of this, obviously it would have, you can imagine the alternative scenario where, somebody shot Trump on TV, blown his head off, quite a visual statement that would have made. And that certainly, it seems like it could have been an outcome. It's interesting that, as I understand it, that there was a lot of press at this event where it hadn't really been this way up and so far in the campaign season.
Is that
I mean,
true?
there's this famous scene with this BBC reporter. His report is talking to this guy with the red hair and a beard,
Oh,
saying he
yeah.
saw the guy for 20 minutes out there. I mean, the BBC was covering the event, and also it was they had live cutaways from the event. This hadn't been the case, apparently, up until this point in the campaign. So that's kind of an interesting idea.
That's interesting, but the shooter is thoroughly unprofessional. If you really wanted to take Trump out, there are 50 different things that he should have done that he didn't do, not least of which is use a different weapon. That's totally unsuitable weapon for this purpose.
It's
Wrong
definitely not.
caliber, wrong everything.
Yeah, not the ideal one, not the ideal one, that's for sure. But, that's certainly because of the close range he had. I mean, in the Army, we had to qualify at 300 meters. He was shooting at half of that. I mean, basically, that's part of the drill. You have pop-up targets between, 50 meters all the way extending out to 300 meters, only with iron sights. So it's certainly a doable shot, at that range. But certainly, if he's picking the right weapon, yes, that's it's not ideal, but there's a like Roger Stone claims that the shooter is someone other than has been represented here. He claims he has another guy that he says it is. a guy associated with Antifa who's 30 years old, who looks very similar to this guy. So I don't know. But again, the FBI let us know for sure who it is. So I guess we already know that. But anyway, so it is interesting that there's more press there. So, I mean, that's true. That's what I hear. Who knows what's really true. The other thing is that, you know, Trump was already had almost reached deity or messiah status among about a third of the American people before this event.
Yeah.
Online, you just can't avoid all the things talking about divine intervention. You know, there's, if he hadn't turned his head, even that same shot would have gone through the back of his brain, right? But he just turned right at the last second. And so nothing but the hand of God, you know, saved him. So these are, so you gotta, no matter what you think of Trump, if you could set this aside for a minute, if you really love Trump, and just imagine that it was somebody like Obama instead, and a full third or maybe 40% of the population believes that he is saved by the hand of God, anointed by God, and will basically follow him blindly into the next administration. I mean, that's a scary thought when we have the overreach of state everywhere right now.
Yeah, and of course, the fact that that's the case will drive the lefties just insane. I can imagine how the girls on The View and Rachel Maddow will howl as they point out these facts that you've just pointed out. And as far as the shooter's concerned, and of course, all we know is what we've been told, and they say that he was registered as a member of the Republican Party. But they also say that he gave money, not a lot, like what is it, $20 or something like that, to a couple of leftist organizations. So the theory comes out that maybe he was only registered as a Republican, not because he was a Republican, but because in a lot of places they wanted lefties to register as Republicans so they could control the primaries.
Right. Well, I mean, last time I had to renew my driver's license and I went through in Colorado doing it online, they force you to register to vote. Okay. So I wasn't registered to vote before, but if I want to renew my license online, I had to choose the party.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They made me do it. I couldn't select none. I had to select Republican or Democrat. And
could you have chosen the Libertarian Party, which is also on the ballot in all 50 states?
Nope, that wasn't there. I could choose Republican or Democrat. That's it. I couldn't choose independent. I had to choose. And so, you know, this was in 2021. So do you know what I chose? I chose Democrat. Why? I don't vote. And I chose Democrat because I you know, anything that might keep me off those lists, the better. So I don't know. I specifically chose the party that I had lower affinity to because I felt like it might be better for me.
Well, I would have done the same, and I certainly wouldn't have, if the option had existed, put down Libertarian, which is like, if the Republican Party is a red flag, Libertarian would be a double red flag. So I certainly wouldn't have done that. But anyway, I wouldn't vote Libertarian anyway because of the nothing, nobody that somehow was designated to run for president for them. It's just shameful. They're so incompetent. They're more incompetent than the Republicans are, which is saying something.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, you know, basically I think the three I've been discussing all weekend with this group of people, you know, through this group chat we have. And it's been interesting because you get this group of like 20 guys. We're all very smart, you know, trying to put together what happened and trying to understand what happened. And, you know, trying to imagine the plausible scenarios. And these are conspiracy minded folks. But basically the three, you know, basic theories are, you know, it's a lone shooter, like this kid who bought into all the, you know, you have that. It's like, imagine you have the opportunity to go back in time and kill Hitler. like that's where you are right now. And so you got to do it. So an unhinged young people trying to like get them to do it. So they did that. And then that only worked because of the competency crisis, which is, has to be vastly worse than we can imagine, where people are so deeply incompetent. So lone shooter, dramatically worse competency crisis than we even imagine. That's option one. You know, option two is that it's a, you know, a deep state plot that went bad, you know, where people are intentionally allowing or encouraging or making sure there's a ladder in place, whatever, making sure the kid knows where to go, making sure no one's looking, I don't know, and allowing it to happen. Or the third option, which is really out there, is that it's staged. And I don't know, like, I have a really hard time with the stage one because just the, it just seems unlike, it seems crazy. And there was a guy who died, apparently. But it comes down to one of those three things. And the truth is, how crazy is it the world that today we see something like this and we're looking at this and trying to wonder, did the government do it? Or is the government so deeply fundamentally incompetent at doing their basic jobs that they failed? I mean, it fundamentally comes down to that.
Yeah, I think during past assassinations, those were not questions that were widely talked about.
Yeah. I mean, well, you probably remember the Reagan attempt really well. What was the, what would people imagine then? What was the, like the early news on that?
What was the early news on that? Well, I guess one question is, how did, what's his name? Jodie Foster's wannabe paramour. How did he get so close to Reagan? So that would have been a failure as well on the part of the Secret Service. And of course, the one before that, there were a couple of attempts on Ford. I don't remember them, but everybody remembers Kennedy. And I'm of the opinion that not Wallace, what the hell?
Dulles.
No, the...
No. Oh, the shooter.
The shooter. He didn't do it. Oswald. Lee Harvey Oswald. But he didn't do it. It makes no sense to me, having, because I personally visited the Texas Book Depository where it said that he was. And a competent shooter would have, I think, taken his first shot before the car took a left turn moving in front of the building. So you'd have several shots coming on, which are much easier than shots going away at a greater distance. So just from those points of view alone, tells me that I don't think he would have done it. Also, once again, you got to get down to the weaponry. And if he's professional and competent, that Italian Caracano carbine is about the worst choice you could make.
Much worse of a choice than the AR was in this case, by comparison.
I think,
right?
So, yes, for several reasons. It was a bolt action and kind of a crappy bolt action in addition. So, no, I don't buy that.
What was the
50 other reasons? But
what were the, were there any, you know, obviously most people don't buy into that idea anymore about the JFK assassination, but at the time, did people question the government's collusion in on it, or question that it was just a great failure of the, you know, the Secret Service? I mean,
yeah, what was in the wind on who did it in those days? And of course, early on, there was speculation about the fact it wasn't Wallace. But were people speculating that it was the CIA? I mean, they were saying, well, maybe it was the mafia, for various reasons, because of Kennedy's girlfriends or whatever. I don't buy that. And maybe it was Castro. No, I don't buy that either. That doesn't make any sense for a number of reasons. Seems to me that it would have been the CIA, because I'm sure the CIA has, you know, deeply entrenched rogue elements, which are self-funding with a lot of money within the CIA. And they pretty much do what they want to do because they're government officials with badges, and it's an organization that nobody wants to mess with. Nobody. So yeah, they could get away with it. That's where I'll put my money.
Yeah, and well, Schumer reminded us recently that if you go after the intel services, they can get you six ways from Sunday, is what he said recently, right?
And he's absolutely correct. And even if you don't go after them, well, one of the six ways from Sunday is they know everything about you, everything that you've done that you don't want other people to know about, and they can disclose that at will.
Implying they can get into your phone.
Among other things, right? But they can't get into this kid's phone. It's really funny. And he wasn't like he was a computer jock, it seems, at all.
No, he worked at like an old care home making food, apparently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, quite suspicious.
I can't wait to see how the narrative develops on this.
Yeah, I think it's pretty well formed. I mean, there's definitely people are attacking the Secret Service people. I think they're the target, and then also Republicans are also the view of all the rhetoric, you know, the dark Biden rhetoric, which was real and pretty intense, that was the problem. And then the Secret Service, probably because of DEI and bad leadership, you know, under-resourced this, and it'll just be explained away like that with basically no accountability. That's my guess.
Yeah. Well, the Secret Service, along with the FBI and all the rest of these Praetorian agencies, about 15, where their agents are armed and dangerous, they should all be flushed. Quite frankly.
Well, if you were Trump today, and I don't know if you saw what Eric Prince had to say about this, kind of a breakdown of the failures of security around Trump, would you make a move to get rid of your Secret Service detail and bring in Eric Prince and his people?
Yeah, I'm not sure that the Secret Service would. I'm not sure, with the law being what it is, if he could actually do that. I mean, who knows? And could he possibly, and it'd probably be a bad idea to have two competing protection agencies. I'm not sure how that would work. I think what he's got to do is find somebody to talk to and just make sure his detail is properly structured. That's probably the best he can do. Get rid of those three fat chicks.
For sure. But I mean, let's say because one of the arguments is that they've asked for more resources for a while, and it's been declined by the lady that's in charge of the Secret Service. So if that's the case, would you supplement it with some Eric Prince people?
Well,
if you could.
Yeah, I'd hope that the Secret Service and the Eric Prince people wouldn't stumble over each other. That's a problem. But, you know, with $3.3 billion allocated to the Secret Service, that's actually a lot of money. You think that they could find a little bit for something as important as this, since it's their main raison d'etre is protecting presidential candidates and presidents. Yeah. Yeah. They could break out, you know, fire a couple desk dwellers and replace them with. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they
I think
won't.
So. They certainly have the budget for it, but yeah, I mean, if I thought like it was a, you know, I was being set up because, you know, they sent me people or they're under resourcing stuff, assuming the law would allow it or whatever. And if it were me and it would set a dangerous precedent, but I'd bring in the private guys. Half of them would do it for free.
That's a good point. Yeah, I think I would. It would make a good statement on the gross incompetence of the government. Yes, I think that might be a very good move on Trump's part, but who knows what he'll do at this point.
Yeah. Well, it seems like the ball's in his court. He definitely has the he deeply disarmed his opponents in all of this because, you know, their rhetoric about him being the greatest threat to democracy and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even Biden comes out, stops saying those things and, you know, is trying to take a moderate, we're all friends tone.
I've got one last question for you, though. Apparently, after he rose from the floor, after he got hit, He yelled, "Fight, fight, fight." What was the meaning of that exactly? Do you have an opinion?
From what I hear, he does this fight, fight, fight at every rally. It's like a normal thing for him to do.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Oh, okay, if that's the case. And it would certainly kind of disenfranchise the ultra-left, which likes to use a clenched fist as their symbol.
Oh, yeah, and okay. Trump's been doing this for a long time.
Okay, like this. Didn't know that.
Yeah, so... But either way, it was, you know, no matter what, the way he responded to it was impressive.
Yeah. So I still think the Democrats are going to win because they're going to steal it. I really think they're not going to want to let go of the reins of the state. Absolutely not. So I think they'll still steal it with really dangerous stuff. They're playing with fire, even though Trump will overwhelmingly win in the real world in the vote count.
You still think, wow, okay.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just too cynical by half.
Yeah, I think I'm more cynical than you in that I think that really they want Trump. So Trump will win.
Well, okay, if the economy collapses and Trump's in office, yeah, that could make sense. Then they have him to blame it on.
Yep. And Matt, you have, you know, a third of the country that believes that he's the second coming or that the hand of God is anointed him. And so that third of the country is going to go along with whatever he feels like he needs to do.
Good point. This is as much of a cliffhanger in the making as anything that we've ever seen on TV, like Dallas, who shot JD.
It certainly is. All right. Well, we'll see how it rolls out. All right. We'll leave it there, Doug, and we'll be back later this week with more. Thanks so much.